Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Kid Stays in the Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Cooper, and joining me today is...
Trey-A-N Cooper.
I knew it wasn't going to be worth it.
That he didn't give me enough time.
He spent so much time while we were getting ready for this before we went on trying to come up with the name, and I knew it wasn't going to be worth it. What does that even mean? Explain, no, honestly, I don't normally want to know, but this was so dumb, I need to understand what it was.
I looked up old British kid names that start with an S.
So not in any way worth it. Doesn't even have to do with the movie.
Yes, it does.
Anyway,
who's the star of the movie? What's the movie about?
Well, I haven't said the name of the movie yet. So joining me today, as always, is Solomon Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to be discussing a movie that let's not bury the lead here. We really liked. We watched it multiple times. Probably seen it 4 times since it came out.
That sounds inaccurate.
Nope.
Yes.
You don't know what I do in my free time.
You're not just sitting around binging this.
That is the film adaptation of the musical Matilda.
Yes. It came out in 2022. This is a new thing.
Yeah, it is. I honestly don't know. I think we mentioned it in one of the other podcasts, maybe like at the tail end or something. But I wanted us to do a full dive into the movie because we really liked it. I was unfamiliar with it. I honestly, full disclosure, was never a huge fan of the original Matilda movie.
I don't know anything about it, so.
Well, just imagine this movie, but with no music.
I didn't know anything about it. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's like.
I figured that.
It was like Danny DeVito. There's like a lot of.
Danny DeVito?
Yeah, he was the dad. Was it Mr. Wormface?
Wormwood.
Yeah. And, I wasn't allowed to watch it also because my parents were very nervousy about, watching things that had magic. So even though Matilda technically doesn't have magic, she's the same as like one of the X-Men, you know what I mean? She has telekinesis.
Yeah.
Back in the '80s, telekinesis, Satan worshiping baby eaters, it was all the same.
One and the same. Synonymous.
So anyway, I wasn't allowed to watch it. And then by the time that I watched it when I was older, when I could make my own decisions, it just was nothing to me. You know what I mean? But I got really excited about this movie when one of the guys in the Resistors, that's a local band, go check them out.
Ooh, Resistors. Yeah, you should look them up.
He introduced me to Tim Minchin, who then I found out did all the music for
Matilda.
For Matilda, the musical. So then I got kind of excited about this.
No, he did all the music for Matilda, not the musical.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it made me kind of excited when this movie's coming out. And then, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think we started that movie the first time we watched it. It was like in the middle of the night, right?
Oh, yeah. It was like 3 a.m.
Yeah, it was like something crazy. It was like
something crazy.
It was some crazy late hour on the weekend. And
I'd hope it was the weekend.
I want to clarify so people don't think that we're watching movies at 3 a.m.
We're dedicated to our craft.
On a school day. But yeah, it was like so instantly captivating.
Yeah.
And I before we go into the finer details, I want to say that this is not one of those musicals where it's just the music, even though I have heard some critics say that. I actually thought the filmmaking in this movie was really good and really creative. Because I've seen a lot of musicals recently that they're really flat, but the music kind of carries them along. And I thought that the filmmaking in this was really, really good. Like, I think that, I don't even want to imagine the movie without the music, but if it were to be made just like the original Matilda as a remake of that Matilda, I think it would still work.
Yeah, I think it would hold its own.
Yeah, I feel like the original Matilda, and I need to go back and... Let's be fair. It's never going to happen. I'm never going to go back and go watch that non-music version again. But I feel like that... I remember that movie kind of feeling Home Alone-ish, and it's like the flat way it's filmed.
The flat way it's filmed?
Yeah, like...
Home Alone Chris, filmed flat?
Chris... There's no style, like there's no style to it. Like I love Home Alone, but Chris Columbus, he just doesn't have a particular style of his own. You know what I mean? So he started a bunch of amazing franchises that made a lot of money. So not trying to say he's not talented, but
no idea. There's not a lot of style.
Yeah, you wouldn't really know it if you saw it.
Yeah, you wouldn't think, oh, this is a Chris Columbus movie.
Yeah, and you can see how his career kind of tapered off, and we don't have to keep talking about Chris Columbus, but like, so he does like Home Alone and Home Alone 2, right? They don't do well with the critics at all, but they are huge smash hits, right? They're classics. And then he does Harry Potter. So if you think about it, they didn't know how Harry Potter was going to work out. They knew it was like the most popular children's book, but so they hired the guy who had made the most popular children's movie. You know what I mean? And they were like, oh, we'll have him make this thing. And he did the best job he could, let's just say. But I will say that I normally skip those Harry Potter movies that he made.
Which one did he make?
The first two.
What? You skip those?
I do now, yeah.
The second one was really good. I think he does a great job of making a kid's movie.
Okay. Yeah, but the third Harry Potter movie is also a kid's movie, and that is done by Alfonso Cuarón, and you can really tell the difference in style in the sense that there is one.
Never rolled my eyes harder.
Why did you?
You went, Alfonso Cuarón.
why do you roll your eyes? Why would you roll your
thing in the whole entire world? You're talking so normally.
Why would you roll your eyes for me pronouncing his name correctly?
You went, Harry Potter 3 is also a kid's movie directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
Well, would you have been happy if I would have been like Alfonso Corona?
No, I wouldn't have been happy, but just you could have been like Alfonso.
Anyway, Corona. We're not talking about Harry Potter.
Your like whole voice and like style of talking changed and accent. Everything about you changed in that moment.
You have to pronounce these names properly. It's rude.
You're going
to
change your whole mindset.
I didn't change my whole mindset.
Yeah, look at this. Is how you're talking. I didn't change my whole mindset. Alfonso Cuarón. That's what you did.
That's not my mindset changing. It was. Anyway, I honestly would love to just talk about Harry Potter now because we've been playing the new Harry Potter game and I'm like overly obsessed with it. But we are here to talk about Matilda.
Yes, sir.
And we will stay on track this time.
Mm-hmm. So let's dive on in.
Yeah, so this is a pretty classic story by
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl, yeah. And people have already seen the movie. But because this is technically a newish movie, we have to give the audience what they want.
The audience doesn't want it.
And the audience needs a plot synopsis of what Matilda's. Just a quick plot synopsis of what Matilda's about.
Why can't I?
Also, Solomon's going to do a lot of singing in this because I can't remember a lot of the songs.
Why do I have to do singing?
Because you listen to all the songs all the time.
I can't sing, though.
You can sing.
No one's ever said that about me.
I've been paying for these singing lessons for years.
No, you have not.
Anyway, so plot synopsis of Matilda.
So this movie is about a girl who loves to read and has some bad parents, and she's going to a new school where she, because she's super excited about school, because her parents are neglectful. And so she goes to school, and it's bad there. And then she unlocks some new powers.
Fair.
That was really long. I feel like that was more like a summary.
I wouldn't have done it that way, but yeah.
That's what it's about.
But it generally, you got the idea across. I think calling your parents neglectful is an understatement.
Abusive.
Actively douchey. Horrendous scumbags.
I think neglectful, if you ever called a parent neglectful, you know they're a bad parent. But they weren't like abusing her. Yeah, but
neglectful parents just would let you watch TV all day. You know, maybe like play poker with their friends or something. I'm showing my age here. I'm like, a neglectful parent would just be outside of racing the ponies while you sat inside and listening to the radio.
Played poker with your friends.
You said they weren't abusive, and that's just not patently not true.
They're not abusive.
They take her books away, and they rip them to pieces. They lock her in the attic.
It's not abuse.
Yes, it is.
Would you say I'm abused then?
Okay. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you're locked in the attic here with this platform for you to be rude and disrespectful.
I'm not rude and disrespectful. I'm kind.
So
and loving.
Yeah. So that's what the movie's about, right? So it's kind of like almost a inverse Harry Potter. You know, like she gets invited to go to this school. It's a private prep school thing, but the school, instead of being like Hogwarts, is hell on earth.
It's an inverse Harry Potter. Her home life is bad and her school life is bad.
That's true. But Harry Potter is an orphan. She has both her parents. They just still suck.
Yeah.
And then she gets invited to this prestigious school, which sucks worse. And then instead of there being a Dumbledore to mentor her, the headmaster also is horrendous. So I think it is kind of like an inverse Harry Potter.
No, it's not. Just because some things are the opposite, but not everything's the opposite, so it can't be inverted.
Okay, so if it was an inverse Harry Potter, it would have to be about a kid who had two loving parents who then didn't get to go to school and also didn't have magic?
Yes.
All right.
Exactly. That's exactly.
You're purposely...
Yeah, Angie has magic, so it can't be like that.
You're purposely misinterpreting me using normal nomenclature.
You said inverse. If you click Control-I on a Photoshop or on an Illustrator thing, what happens? Does one part of it go into the opposite color, or does the whole thing change colors?
So you're saying the movie would be inverse if the movie's just upside down? I'm not talking about this anymore. It's so stupid.
What a weird point. Why does it have to be upside down?
I'm not talking about it anymore. We're just going back to the movie.
Why'd you say that?
That's what you're saying in Photoshop.
Control-I changes the colors. That flips the canvas.
Oh, I got confused. I don't use Photoshop.
I actually didn't even know if it does that. But it doesn't.
We're like literally almost done with the first half of this segment. We barely talked about this movie.
No, we have time.
Which is really sad because, like I said, we really did watch this movie a lot of times.
Yeah, I think I watched it twice.
I watched it four times.
Yes, in the privacy of your home.
Yep, in the privacy of my home. Sorry, I have to wipe my eyes. I started crying. I don't know. I honestly, the young girl they have to play Matilda, she's a newcomer. I don't think she's been in much else at all.
Yeah, I believe you are correct.
Are you checking your notes right now? On my phone?
Yeah, I knew her name. Her name is Alicia, like, weir.
Well,
W-E-I-R.
She's really great, and she...
She's insane. She has more talent than any person I know.
And I think she's a little bit younger than the girl who played the original Matilda, but she also plays Matilda a bit darker. There's a little bit of Carrie in there, you know, like a little bit of a fire starter.
Sure, sure.
There's a bit of darkness. And some people that I've talked to have refused to watch the movie because they watched the trailer and they were like, Matilda was just always so sweet to everybody. And she was like, you know, Madeline or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this, she's definitely much more like what a kid would be like raised in this horrendously abusive home situation.
Yeah, except for she's not like she's not like rude to like kids.
No, just a little edge to her.
Yeah.
And she's still very sweet, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And very smart.
Yeah.
Basically, honestly, some would say that Matilda in this movie is exactly like me. You know, I'm a little bit
country, a little bit rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. And super sweet and a genius.
Oh, honestly. God. A genius?
That's like, oh, God.
You don't even read.
I did read a book.
Hey, you did. You read a book.
I'm very smart just because I don't read.
I'm not saying so here's the thing. You're putting me in a bad position. You're sitting over there bragging all about yourself and how you're a genius. If I rag on you, then I'm going to look like a douchebag who's like bringing down your confidence or whatever. And so sure.
So who's the genius here? Who's putting you in this position?
You're right. You're exactly. A genius.
Exactly. Don't look at me like that.
I beat you at chess the last three times.
So. No, you did not. I beat you because you blundered twice.
I blundered in that one game.
That doesn't mean you beat me at the last three times at chess.
Before that, I beat you the last four times.
I beat you like six times in a row. Then you beat me four times, and then I beat you again. So
Matilda, that's a movie that we're talking about.
Yeah, stop getting us all off track, Dad. We got to get.
Yeah, is it Emma Thompson plays
the Trunchbull?
Her name's not the Trunchbull.
She's a Trunchbull. Wait, is her name Trunchbull?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
She's the Trunchbull.
No, that's her name.
Her name is not Trunchbull.
Her name's like Emma Watson Trunchbull.
Emma Watson Trunchbull.
Emma Thompson Trunchbull.
No, she plays Agatha
Trunchbull.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
I thought the Trunchbull was like a headmaster in Britain.
Oh, way to jump off your genius throne really quickly. You climbed up on it and you just took a nosedive off as fast as you possibly could.
I thought this the whole time.
The whole time in your life. So you thought that Dumbledore was like the Trunchbull of Hogwarts?
Kind of. I thought it was like another word. I thought it was like headmaster and Trunchbull were synonymous.
Nope.
I'm so stupid.
Yeah, you said it, not me.
You beat me at chess.
I didn't say it. So Emma Thompson plays Trunchbull, and I honestly I kept saying to Solomon, I was like, who is it? So Trunchbull's like the evil headmistress of this school. She's like a former, Olympic something player.
Yeah, she was like one of those, you know, those people who spin around and throw things.
Yeah, they spin around and throw that big ball. I can't remember what it's called. But so she like runs this school, very young children, it's a military operation. She's all about discipline and whatever.
Yeah.
So imagine like the worst high school coach you could have ever had running the entire school.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, we're 2 minutes over time. So sorry, folks. Quick break and we'll be right back. Hopefully this time to actually be discussing Matilda, the musical.
Goodbye.
You have to say goodbye.
That was the last word.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to the Kids Season, the podcast, and our discussion of
Matilda, the musical.
I forgot what it was called.
Man, we are really not selling very well that this is our favorite movie that we've ever seen.
Look, it's not our favorite movie, but we like it a lot.
Yeah, quite a bit. So
thank you for saving
me. We were talking about how Emma Thompson plays Trunchbull. Not the Trunchbull.
I was really close to saying that.
And she's like this evil headmistress. But yeah, I was telling Solomon that the whole time we were watching, I was like, who is this person? Like, because she's so good.
And you can tell
that she has like some cosmetics on. They're very well done. So it wasn't enough cosmetics where I'm like, oh, there's so many cosmetics on this person that I can't tell who it is. I was just thinking maybe it's some character actor that's like in little parts in sitcoms or something NYPD Blue. Yeah. I just can't think of who it is. But no, she's just so good in that role. And there are some prosthetics, but she is so great as Trunchbull. And they managed to make this villainous person scary and funny. You know what I mean? Like, he's so over the top that it's funny.
Yeah, like what she does is the craziest things that you can't imagine it being real. So I think that's like where it's like a caricature of someone evil.
Right, exactly.
Which thus makes it very funny.
Well, like the part where she's she has her own this one musical number where she's singing kind of about like her fantasy.
Yes.
Like about like a world where it's like a world with no children or something like that. And it's so delightfully over the top. And what's funny about it is she's being a child herself. So, like, that's what makes her feel childlike is imagining
no children.
No children. Yeah. But she's like swinging on a swing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
the first line of the song is, imagine if children didn't exist. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Like something like that.
And she has like this really scary, it's a classic, like, kind of Roald Dahl thing. Like, she has this like scary place called, what's it called? Like the crunchy, the smishy.
Dad, this is your favorite movie. You've seen it four times.
I know, but I'm there for the music, man. What's it called? It's like it's a cell that she puts kids in. It's like a little box, and she locks children in it.
It's called like Heidi or something.
The Crunchy.
It's not called the Crunchy.
What's it called? Wait, this is embarrassing. Yeah. Everybody who knows Matilda is like screaming right now out there.
It's it has a name.
Yeah,
and it's like a kid's thing, but it ends with a Y.
It's like something you would hear about like in a Dr. Seuss book, Horror Roald Dahl book.
Mm.
What are you gonna look it up?
Yeah,
keep what's talking. The box called in Matilda?
Yeah, keep talking.
Sorry, guys, this show is no, apparently talk, not properly just, prepped. Solomon hasn't prepped properly.
How does this have to do with my prepping yet? You don't know what
I called
called
it the Crunchy. It's called something like
it's
the Smidgy.
Like the hide and go seeky.
No, it is not called that.
It's something weird like that.
Anyway, so the other premise for those unfamiliar is like Matilda is also telling this story that she's making up about a about two folks.
Chokey.
I was so close.
No, I was way closer.
What did I say?
You said crunchy.
That's so much closer to chokey than the hide and go seeky.
I thought it was something like a kid's name.
Anyway, so Matilda's telling this story about an escapologist.
An escapologist and an acrobat.
An acrobat. So an escapologist being like an like escape
this,
artist.
I forgot about this like second, this B plot.
Yeah, well, it's a main part of Matilda. Yeah. So she's been telling this story. She's telling the story to the librarian, mm-hmm. and she's just making this story up about their love affair, and then like this happened. And the whole time you're watching it, you are thinking she's making it up because it reminds her of what she wishes her life was. You know what I mean? Because then an evil aunt takes their daughter and raises her when her parents get killed and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So you kind of think it's just like her reflection of herself.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out that she's basically like, I don't know, psychic or whatever you want to say, because it's actually the exact story of one of the teachers, her favorite teacher at school.
Miss Honey.
Yeah, Miss Honey. It's her actual life story.
Yeah.
So she's been thinking she's making this story up when really it's true.
Yep.
And then the big kind of reveal is obviously that she has telekinetic powers, and then she uses them to turn over the
headmistress,
and then Honey gets put in charge, blah blah blah.
Just told the whole ending of the movie.
Yeah, it's Matilda, man. It's a book that's been around for a long time. It's a story. So I was trying to get through the plot, because the main thing here is that's different from the original is the music.
And didn't you say at the beginning of the podcast that it was perfectly great without the music?
It would be, but like for this discussion, what's the point of discussing without discussing the music? So Tim mentioned, if people don't know, like he's a very subversive musician. His lyrics are fairly rebellious already. You know what I mean? He writes a lot of parodies, anti-establishment stuff, you know, some anti-religious stuff, which probably is why a lot of religious people don't like it. But I don't think it's because he particularly hates religion. I think he just doesn't like
what it does.
He doesn't like cultures that restrict free expression. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So Tim Minchin is like kind of the perfect fit to write music for this. A story like Matilda. You know what I mean?
Yes.
A lot of parents would bristle at the idea of having kids read books about challenging authority, questioning teachers, questioning adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that as a parent who has a child who's always questioning and subverting my authority.
I do not. I think it's a necessary part of growing up.
And you do not what? You do not question and subvert my authority, or you do not agree with Tim Minchin? What, you just started off a sentence with that made no sense. You said, I do not.
You said, I...
Objection!
He said, which I, like, understand.
Yeah, but you let me finish my thought.
Yeah, I understand.
my thing was, it's because, and I'm not judging...
Parents.
Not judging other parents, but, like, I understand the inclination to do that because it's easier. You know what I mean? As a parent, you have other responsibilities to do too besides just raising your children. I mean, that's obviously one of the most important ones. But you also have to be able to go to work and provide for them. You know what I mean? If you're in a marriage, you have to manage your marriage relationship. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things you're having to manage at once. So it's much easier to just say, shut up and sit down. Just do what I say with no explanation than it is to sit down and have conversations about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about being all namby-pamby, but, you know.
A little namby.
Yeah. A little namby, but not so pamby.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we're doing now.
What do you mean?
We just came in here like we're high.
No, we're good.
So, yeah. So I think that parents will, a lot of parents might instinctively bristle about what they would consider the message of Matilda by saying, if, like, we don't want a movie that's teaching rebellion against your parents and teaching rebellion against your teachers or whatever. But that's such a shallow reading of this story, because what the story is about, to me, is, I mean, I just now said to me as if I'm having a deep reading here, when I'm about to, like, basically be quoting the songs. Because I was about to be like, it's really about standing up to bullies. It's not even subtext.
It's literal text.
Yeah, it's basically like the log line of Matilda the book. It's like, Matilda, a book about standing up to bullies.
He just read the script.
But no, it is about standing up against injustice. You know what I mean? And no matter how small you are, feeling like you can make a difference. And that is, it's, I think the reason that I'm
another thing that it was directly from this.
Exactly. And I think that the reason that I'm struggling with it is because, or struggling with, like, communicating it, is because so many parents really did have a problem with this book. Like, people had a huge problem with the book, and they had a problem with the movie for all these reasons. When, yeah, like we just said, it's not subtext. It's right there if you just paid attention instead of having a knee jerk reaction.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like they just feel like they're being attacked.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the idea. It's not, because it is, like you said, very obvious. And it's like the second song in the movie says it, basically. And so,
how does the song go? I told people we're going to sing. Pay for all these voice lessons.
And you stop saying, that was so long ago, I don't even know how to sing anymore.
Well, just, we give it some bars, so I can't remember how the songs go. Yeah, I'll join in.
He's a liar.
I'll join in. I honestly can't remember how they go. There's one, so I know that my mommy says, but then what's the main one that I, that song that, like, it's like her anthem, where she's like, just because you're little, you don't have to be a squibble.
Stop it. It's like, just because you're little, you can do a lot. You mustn't let a little thing like
little stop you. Yeah.
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 Isn't that cool? Isn't that a cool line?
It's, yeah, it's a really great song. And that's the whole thing. It's like, it's like,
just because you're small, you can change the world.
If you think about, like, what would people want a story to be about? Like, if you're a parent, you know what I mean? If you're one of these parents who's upset about this movie seeming like it's too rebellious or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What would a movie be about where it's just like, hey, once there was a little girl and she had two wonderful parents and they loved her so much and she went to a great school and she grew up and she went to Harvard and now she's rich and she's married and she has a bunch of, what is that movie? That's not even a show. Like people, I remember there's like a big movement for a while where they were like, oh, sitcoms are all about making fun of men. The men are always stupid. And the women are always smart, and the kids are always smarter than them.
Who was that a movement?
Who was
making that movement?
Well, the same people who were upset about Matilda.
What a stupid idea.
No, but it's like a real thing.
What's wrong with that?
That's the thing. The reason that it started happening was because it was...
All sitcoms were like that?
It was subversive. No, all sitcoms weren't. But, like, you know, you have Full House, right? Where the dad is, like, really smart, and he's like... Ooh, blah, 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 blah. And then like there was like Home Improvement and like Everybody Loves Raymond, people used to use as an example. I don't feel like that show is just acting like Raymond's a big idiot or whatever, but, you know. Anyway, there was a whole bunch of people who were mad about that. And I'm like, what do you want? What do you want to happen? Do you want all sick, like, because what they want is kind of like in the subtext of what they're saying. So you want a sitcom where the man is like just always really wise and he knows best for everybody and everybody else's opinions are stupid. And at the end of the day, they learn that he was right all along. You know what I mean?
What a great message.
That's called the patriarchy.
We say.
Sorry, our our podcast has gotten too political.
You're right. We have. But
we're talking about Matilda. It's a movie about rebellion. It's about sticking it to the man, or the woman in this version.
True. What a good one. What a good one.
So, I was asking a friend of mine who is very familiar with the Broadway version of this musical, and he said bearing the lead again. There's a weird moment in this movie, and apparently it's in the Broadway musical. And I wanted to ask what you thought about it, and if you could stop acting like a weirdo. Where Matilda's dad comes and she like helps him unglue his hat from his head right before he's about to abandon her, right? Like, and there's this weird like little sensitive moment.
Not right before he's about to abandon her.
No, he's about to make her leave the school though because of his like thing, and then he's going to abandon her.
Yeah.
And there's this weird, like, little sweet moment between them that I honestly, it's the one thing for me that just rings false in the story. There's no humanizing of her parent characters at all. They're bad people. They're
not once.
Yeah, there's nothing nice that they ever do. So this weird little moment where she calls him dad for the first time, and then he responds, or he calls her his daughter.
Yeah, because he's been calling her his son for like his whole life.
Yeah, because he always wanted a son.
Yeah.
And it's this weirdly tender moment that I think it's supposed to be tender, but it just, to me, it's not even that it just rang false. It just made me confused.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't understand what the point was.
Yeah. Like, just let him be bad. There's no reason to have this little moment here. And
maybe it's just to show that there is a tiny little bit of good in everyone.
But what? He just leaves her there.
Yeah, and also Trunchbull doesn't get any redeeming things. You know, she's just crazy.
Trunchbull doesn't need any redeeming things. He's a bad guy.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So
so are they.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. They're all bad guys. So they don't need anything.
Well, look, we're up on time now. I hope you guys had a good time with this podcast. I think I had a good time.
We had fun.
So hopefully it was fun for you as well. But yes, look, Matilda, it's on Netflix. I think it slipped past everybody's radar because it didn't go to theaters. It's a crying shame because I would say it is hands down one of the best Netflix,
originals.
Yeah, movies. And it didn't get to go to theaters and no one talked about it and it didn't go anywhere. And it's honestly, it's a travesty. Watch it. It's incredibly fun. And who Netflix, if you want to sponsoring us, we'll have our letters to your attorneys and your people who send us paychecks very soon.
We'll love that.
All right.
Oh, also, favorite song, Revolting Children. That song is so funny. That
little, oh, my God. That, I said we're out of time, bro.
That little boy, he destroys the bars, man. He goes absolutely crazy. All flames.
Oh, man. Solo's going to do a solo podcast about Revolting Children. Anyway, that's all our right. show.
Wait, we didn't get a rating.
That's 10 out of 10. I don't know. What do you want from me?
11 out of 11.
Now that's our show.
That's our show.
So unprofessional. We're out of here.
Bye.
Follow us on Instagram at The Kid in the Pick and on RogueMediaNetwork.com.
Till next time.
This has been a Rogue Media Podcast.